Hello, ladies and gentlemen. I'm trying a new feature here on the Substack operating world, the voiceover. And I thought to get started with this, I would do a voice version of a post I just made recently that seemed to get a lot of attention, a few things non-monogamy is not. And I was thinking this might be something that I would do for paying subscribers as a kind of a bonus. A lot of people seem to prefer the audio. I guess if you're driving or whatever, you're busy reading enough stuff in your life, you don't want to read anything else. You know, it's kind of like the audiobook version of a blog post, I guess. Anyway, I thought what I would do is some of the pieces that I write, I would do an audio version with a little, you know, extra commentary, things that occur to me while I'm reading it. So that's what this is. Let's see how it goes. I'm not sure how this differs from Aroma, but I guess it's different. Anyway, a few things non-monogamy is not. Since I'm the Sex at Dawn guy, people often assume I'm an expert on non-traditional relationship dynamics. Whether that's true or not, my friends will tell you that I'm entirely capable of casually tossing an anecdote about primate penis morphology into any conversation, often with devastatingly awkward results. In any case, given the rapidly increasing popularity of what people are calling ethical non-monogamy, ENM, I thought I'd share a few thoughts about mistakes I see people making in this area. So here's a partial list of what, in my opinion, ethical non-monogamy is not. Okay, break from the text here. I do tend to throw in anecdotes about primate penis morphology into any conversation, and it does often result in awkwardness. And actually, the testicular morphology is even more interesting. Monkey balls, except it's not really monkeys, it's apes. But ape balls doesn't have the same ring to it that monkey balls does. So yeah, I know a lot about primate reproductive systems, for better or worse, and it often occurs to me to throw in a little factual tidbit. And so be careful if you invite me to a cocktail party, because that tends to happen. Okay, so number one, these are things that ethical non-monogamy is not. And as I said, this is a partial list. I just picked five. I'll probably keep going with this. I'm working on a piece now, things that ethical non-monogamy can be. And I imagine this will be an ongoing series, because I feel like, you know, obviously this is becoming more and more popular in the US, at least judging by media attention. And I think that a lot of people use ethical non-monogamy. It's the wrong tool for the job they're trying to do. Or it's they misunderstand what it is. Like, some people think ethical non-monogamy is just another word for cheating, or a cover for deceit. And that's why the word ethical is attached to it, because, you know, some people say, well, it shouldn't be called ethical non-monogamy because that posits that monogamy is ethical. And so this is a, you know, sort of a comparative description that gives up that ground to monogamy. I don't quite agree with that. I think this is more distinguishing ethical non-monogamy from conventional non-monogamy, which is often unethical, either because it's exploitative, typically of women, you know, in a sort of Mormon, you know, multiple wife situation where the women don't have access to resources, or not just to demonize Mormons, but, you know, polygamy in general has happened in societies where women are degraded to the point where they have no access to resources other than through men. And so the men who have the most resources can hoard the reproductive potential of women. And so you have these, you know, sultans in the Middle East with 30, 40 women in a harem. You know, and that, if we can make a judgment from outside the culture, we could say that doesn't seem very ethical. Or you have cheating in our society, which is the most prevalent form of non-monogamy, and it's not ethical because you're lying to your partner. But that's how it generally works. And non-monogamous people who are open about it generally say, well, we do the same thing everyone else does. We just don't lie about it. So that, I think, is what the ethical non-monogamy is. It's where you're not lying to your partners. You're not sneaking around. And so when I hear from people who say, I'll just start reading again because that's number one. So number one is a license to lie to yourself or others. This one pisses me off because I've heard from countless people, mostly women, that their partner cheated on them and then held up a copy of Sex Addon as an excuse, saying something like, it's not my fault, baby. This book proves monogamy isn't natural. That's bullshit. It's not my fault, baby, is bullshit. It is your fault. While we argued in Sex Addon that our species is clearly not sexually monogamous by nature, this doesn't mean that lying to someone who trusts you is any less despicable. In Sex Addon, Casilda and I were arguing for honesty and understanding, not for selfishness or deceit. And that's a really important point because people think if you just say something doesn't come naturally, then therefore all responsibility is removed. And that's not true. That's a really sloppy way to think. Responsibility, honesty, decency, integrity, those things are not removed because you've decided to be non-monogamous. In fact, those things are, I would argue, more important, more crucial to your relationships because you are departing from the expected norms. You're departing from the kind of assumptions of how a relationship is supposed to work. And you're saying, no, we're doing something different. And once you do that, you need to be much more explicit, careful, communicative about what it is you're trying to do and what's expected from each other, what you're agreeing to, what you're committing to. All those things need to be articulated. Whereas in conventional relationships, I don't know that I agree with this, but typically people don't feel the need to articulate these things because there are assumptions, right? Like people get married, forsaking all others till death do you part. Well, I mean, that's pretty clear, right? Now, if you happen to be married to a lawyer, he or she might say to you 10 years from now, well, that's not how I interpreted forsaking. You know, there are semantic issues that can still be worked out. But when you step away from assumptions and sort of conventional configurations of relationships, then you really need to talk through what it is that we're doing here. So there's Bob Dylan, I don't know whether it's in a song or an interview or something, but at some point he said, if you're going to be an outlaw, you have to be honest. And I think that's what he's talking about. I think he's saying, if you're going to function outside the norms of society, then you need to step up and really be honest about what it is that you're doing. You know, most people think of outlaws as being dishonest. So he sort of turned it on its head. I think that's what he means. Like if you're gonna sort of be an individual and you're going to do this with other people, then you need to accept the increased responsibility for making that decision. Number two, a way to save a dying relationship. This is a big mistake that people make. And maybe I shouldn't have used the word dying. Maybe I should have used the word troubled because the relationship isn't necessarily dying, but it's not a way to fix a relationship that's got issues. I'll continue reading here. Things feeling a bit stale and repetitive. unresolved issues with your partner, finding it difficult to keep avoiding that unavoidable conflict, it happens. But bringing someone else into the relationship to spice it up is precisely the worst possible move for everyone involved. The last thing you need is more distraction. You need to be facing what's going on, not finding ways to ignore it. And the last thing the other person needs, this is the third that you're bringing in, is to get sucked into the quicksand of an unhappy, dysfunctional dynamic. Look for a good therapist, not a unicorn. And this is so true. People think, well, we've got issues. Let's spice it up by finding some hot single woman who wants to fuck with both of us. Well, first of all, there's a reason this person's called a unicorn, because everybody wants to find one and they don't seem to exist in the natural world. So there's that. But then there's just the narcissism of thinking this third person doesn't deserve his or her feelings to be considered in this, that they're just like a sex toy, like a vibrator or something that you're going to add to your sexual life for your benefit, to solve your problems. Well, what about them? What are they getting from this, right? And I think that's something a lot of couples who get into that world aren't really thinking through. I heard a comedian, I think it was on Instagram, you know, one of these things that popped up in my feed. And she was saying, she said, all my friends, I've got friends in Portland and friends in New York. All my friends in Portland are getting into non-monogamy, and my friends in New York are all having babies, and everyone's trying to convince me that I should do what they're doing. But neither one of them sounds good to me, because I just want to have a relationship where there isn't a third person crying all the time. I thought that was pretty good. The last thing you want to do is bring a third person into your relationship and make their life miserable. You know, that's not fun for anyone. Don't spread your misery, solve your misery, and then invite someone to the party when it's a good party, if that's what you want to do. Number three, a superior relationship style. So you're poly, you live in Portland or Austin or Sedona or Seattle. You drink shade-grown, hand-picked, sustainably packaged coffee that's locally roasted by a guy named Ivan, who has pierced eyebrows and an ironically waxed mustache. Cool. But take it from the Sex at Dawn guy when I say you're no better than anyone else and your holier-than-thou vibe is fucking annoying. Stop trying to push people into non-monogamy by insinuating that they're less evolved if they're not into it. The right ways to arrange relationships promote growth, respect, and dignity for everyone involved. That can take many shapes, ranging from orgiastic hedonism to straight-up monogamy. No relationship configuration is inherently better than any other, as long as everyone is where they want to be. So get off your polyamory high horse before you get thrown and trampled. This pissed off some people. One guy in particular wrote some weird comments, and he definitely thinks non-monogamy is superior. He seems to think he's superior. He seems to think that he has the right to deceive people, even. He said something about like, well, if I were honest about being non-monogamous, my life would be less rich because I'd get laid less often. Dude, see, that's an outlaw who's not being honest. That's a guy who doesn't get the idea that if you're doing something different, you need to inform your partners. You need to tell people where you're coming from. That's the whole fucking point of this, honestly. It's not about getting laid more. If you think ethical non-monogamy is about getting laid more, you're missing the point. It's not about getting laid more. It's about understanding yourself. It's about deeper levels of intimacy, if this is how you are configured as a person at this point in your life. And that can change. But if you look in the mirror and you say, this is the way I am, I love women or men, and I don't see how loving one or being sexually attracted to one means that I can't love or be sexually attracted to others. It doesn't work that way for me. If that's how you feel, then great. Be true to yourself, but also be honest with other people, because if someone is looking for an exclusive partner and you're misrepresenting yourself, that's bullshit. That's not good for you, and it's really not good for them. You're wasting their time. You're wasting their precious time. Again, Bob Dylan, I ain't saying you were unkind. You just kind of wasted my precious time. Don't think twice. It's all right. Number four, a path to or expression of enlightenment. Now, notwithstanding what I just said, it's not that ethical non-monogamy is a path to enlightenment or deeper intimacy or so on and so forth. It's that honesty is the path. Transparency, working through your shame about who you are, what you are, how you work, how your mind works. Working through that shit is the path. Now, sometimes that can take the shape of non-monogamy. Other times it can take the shape of, you know, homosexuality or bisexuality or transsexuality or asexuality. And it can take paths that have nothing at all to do with sexuality or gender identity or any of that. Whatever it is, there are many paths. The point is, there are paths that feel resistant because they require you to acknowledge aspects of yourself that you've been hiding from. Those are the paths toward enlightenment, whatever shape they happen to take. As Shakespeare put it long ago in Hamlet, I forget the name of the character, but it's an older man giving advice to his son, I think. And he says, "This above all, to thine own self be true, and it must follow as night follows the day. Thou canst not then be false to any man." Right? If you're true to yourself, then you're not going to lie to others. And if you hear yourself lying to others, reflect on the fact that you're also lying to yourself. There's some aspect of yourself that you are not acknowledging, not even to yourself. And that is something you cannot escape from. That is something, you know, you can lie to other people and they might never catch you. They might never know that you lied. But when you're lying to yourself, you know you're fucking lying, right? You know. And it creates a split within you between the part that's lying and the part that knows you're lying. It fractures your self. And that is a deep wound. And that's the kind of wound that we need to heal as we mature and integrate. Right? Integrate is the opposite of split, separate. Number five, a way to simplify your life or a way to avoid communication. This gets back to what I was saying at the beginning. Ethical non-monogamy is not simpler. You might be thinking like, oh, okay, I got this partner and it's cool, but man, it's, you know, it gets complicated. If I had another partner and I could just kind of like, when shit gets complicated with this one, I could go over to that one until this calms down a little bit. And then I could just kind of keep everything nice and simple and easy. That's not how it works. Folks who think non-monogamy will make things simpler are probably thinking they can get away from difficult conversations if things just shift into a more sexual, less intimate vibe. Especially guys, I think this. But that's not how it works. Whatever form of non-monogamy you're going to get into, it's going to require more, not less, communication. Even if you're intentionally avoiding intimacy by just going to swingers parties with your partner with zero intention to develop friendships with people you meet there, you're still going to have to go deeper with your partner in order to handle the jealousies, insecurities, and other fears that will inevitably emerge. More people plus more situations plus more insecurities equals more communication. There's no way around it. So these are a few of the things that I think ethical non-monogamy is not, and that people often mistake it for. It's not a license to lie to yourself or others. It's not a way to save a dysfunctional relationship. It's not inherently superior to any other relationship configuration. It's not inherently a path to enlightenment or an expression of enlightenment. And it's not a way to simplify things or avoid communication. Yeah. Or at least that's what I say. But everyone's got their own opinions on these things. Okay, I'm going to send this out, see how it goes, see if it worked. I've never recorded directly to the website like this before. But if it works and you like it, please let me know, and maybe I'll continue doing these or do like little quick romas, like little mini romas. Does that make sense? Would you be interested in that? I'm constantly torn between feeling like I should be providing more content, you know, for especially for the people who send me money, and feeling like I don't want to bother you. You know, like I don't want to, oh shit, another fucking email from Chris Ryan. Like I don't want to, you know, I sign up for things sometimes and it's like they send me an email every day and I immediately unsubscribe. I don't need another goddamn fucking thing every day in my inbox. Are you kidding me? I'm already drowning. But I don't know if that's the way other people feel as well, because other people might be looking at it and saying, I send this guy $5 a month and I get like, what, 3-4 emails, you know, 3 podcasts, 4 podcasts, whatever. You know, I'm not getting enough content to be worthwhile. Other people might say, shit, this guy sends me 8 or 10 emails a month. That's too much. So I don't know. Let me know if you have an opinion on that. Maybe that'll be the question in the open thread for May, if I can remember. But it is something I constantly sort of struggle with. I'm not sure which way I should be going with that. So let me know if you have an opinion. I would appreciate it. I guess I'm going to make this one open to everyone, and the comments are open to everyone. And then if I continue doing this, I'll make it for paying subscribers, and it'll be like the carrot that, you know, tries to lure more people in. Thank you for listening. As always, I hope your Monday is going well. It's springtime here in Crestone, Colorado. Doesn't mean there's no more snow coming. Sometimes it snows into June. And actually, a late frost is good because it kills those mosquito larvae. But it's beautiful outside. It's gone up into the 60s today. Really looking forward to that. So I'm going to stop looking at this computer and go outside and get some work done. Thanks for listening. I hope things are going well for you. Drop me a line, say hi, sending you lots of love. Bye.